हरिः
early 60s especially, that you'd have the devotees would be wearing turbans and varieties of dhotis and chadars and like that. Somehow or another, they went out of fashion. Yeah, it's coming back.
Nearly 60 years later.
Yeah. That was the full song cycle, yeah. Okay, so page 32. Chapter 22, Marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. Pratigya. Considering marriage, the renounced sage Kardama Muni accepted Devahuti, the Emperor Manu's daughter, by the best Vedic process. The Pratigya is expressed in this excerpt from Srila Prabhupada's purport to verse 16. Kardama wanted to marry Devahuti in the recognized manner of marriage described in the scriptures. As stated in the Vedic scriptures, the first class process is to call the bridegroom to the home of the bride and hand her to him in charity with a dowry of necessary ornaments, gold, furniture, and other household paraphernalia. This form of marriage is prevalent amongst higher class Hindus even today and is declared in the Shastras to confer great religious merit on the bride's father. To give a daughter in charity to a suitable son-in-law is considered to be one of the pious activities of a household. And so, in other words, he's made the endeavor, right? He wants to get the daughter married. He makes the endeavor. He looks for someone suitable. And so because of that, then all that benefit, then that father gets. Because otherwise, in the modern system, the father doesn't necessarily really make any endeavor. The daughter has to make the endeavor. So then he won't really get any benefit from having arranged the marriage. So that's why of all the marriages, four then have the consent of the father out of eight. But of those four, three means that there's been some kind of connection. But in actually only two of them, there's a bit of an endeavor. But one of them is by accident. So actually it's only one he makes that full endeavor. So that's why it's considered to be the best. That's why it's said here in the best Vedic process. So that means the Brahma marriage. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Yes.
What about if the mother makes the endeavor because the father is not?
It's the same principle. The point is the girl's side of the family, because the point you're trying to find someone that matches the girl. Right? Does that make sense? It's not so much about finding someone to match the boy, it's about matching the girl. Because if you match the girl, you've matched the boy. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole principle, is that it's always about, you know, this idea is that, you know, the man wants to be happy, but what makes men happy doesn't necessarily make women happy, but what makes women happy make men happy. So therefore, you make the woman happy, the man's happy. Does that make sense? So if you make someone who matches the girl, then the boy is matched. So you just have to know where to put the emphasis. Does that make sense? You know, it's okay, let's say that would be too complicated. So does that make sense? Does this principle make sense? Because then it works. So that's the whole whole principle that's being recognized here. Because for the marriage, it's about the girl. Right? The boy's there. You know, he has to be there. Otherwise, what's the meaning of the marriage? But it's just like, you know, you have a nice outfit, you have nice arrangements, nice food, you have a nice boy. I mean, it's all part of the scene. Right? You understand? So therefore, you know, like that. So it's about the girl. It's her big day. You don't say, nobody ever says it's the boy's big day. No. They always say it's the girl's big day. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why then this perspective is there. So if you understand from the Vedic, then it's not a matter of equalness. It's a matter of who's prominent when and in which area. Because there is never going to be any equalness. You know what I'm saying? Someone has a whole bunch of pets, right? They have dogs, they have cats, they have parakeets, they got a horse, you know, they got a hamster. So they take care of them, you could say, equally, which means each one of them is taken care of according to its nature. Right? The hamster gets hamster food, not dog food. Right? Does that make sense? So each one gets what they require. And it's not equal. The amount of food that the horse eats is going to be way more than the hamster. But it doesn't mean that they love the hamster any less. Does this make sense? Right? So that's the whole thing. Is the Vedic is about balance. It's not about equality. The modern idea is that equality makes balance. No, balance makes balance. You know what each one is. You know the nature of something. Then you can create balance. But if you don't know the nature, then out of ignorance, you just make it equal. Right? Does that make sense? If I don't know, I make it equal. Prabhupada gives that as a defining factor of the neophyte. The neophyte means they don't know, they can't discriminate, right? They lack the intelligence. Therefore, they treat everyone the same, right? Let's say a Hindu gentleman comes to the temple first time. He doesn't know the devotees, doesn't know the scene. Does he know the difference between a brand new bhakta or a second initiated or a sannyasi or the temple president? No, but he'll treat everyone the same. Which means, by Hindu tradition, nice. Right? Western tradition, you treat everyone with a kind of air of pessimism. And then you find out these guys are higher, so the new guy stays right where you walked in the door, and everybody else moves up. Right? But the Vedic thing is you start everybody on the top, and then you figure out where everybody fits, and then they move down from there. You understand? So that means then you have intelligence. But if you don't, you make it equal. You understand? So it's due to ignorance that equality sounds so great. Right? Because Vedic equality, it means everyone according to their nature. Does that make sense? The businessman's going to have more money than the guy who works in an office. It's just the way it works. Right? Because how much endeavor is the guy in the office making? He makes a certain amount, but he has no risk. You can say, no, but he works so hard. But there's zero risk. But the businessman, he's taking risk. You may say, oh, he does nothing all day. But he's taking the risk. So therefore, he gets more. That's equal. Everyone according to their nature. Kshatriya gets even more. He has to run the whole kingdom. So if he doesn't have more, how does he take care of everybody? You understand? And then on the top of the pile, you have the Brahmins. They get the least. And they're happy with it, right? The only ones you could say are equal that way economically are the Shudras, who are not happy with it. Does that make sense? So that therefore is that these mean some. So when it says the best Vedic process, it means out of the eight marriages, the Brahma, because that means everybody's made the most endeavor, and you've taken the most care to see that the match is proper, right? The arrangements and everything. Yes.
Is
to determine the nature of something, is that the same as determining the dharma?
Yes, dharma, nature are the same.
Like the essence of...
Yes, that one doesn't change. Yeah. Does that make sense? You know, like water's wet, but it's just a matter of how wet. Right? An ice cube is wet, but not as wet as, you know, a glass of water. You know, and a glass of water is wet, but not as wet as a bathtub. And that's not as wet as a pool, which is not as wet as a lake, which is not as wet as an ocean. Does that make sense? But the character of wetness, that's the same in all of them. Does that make sense? It's just like, okay, if you can't tell the difference between a lake and an ocean, then you might have a problem if you were, you know, how you say, the maiden voyage of the Titanic. You know? Of course, in the lake, you might not have a problem with it sinking, because when you hit it with your, whatever it is, your, you know, 7-Up bottle or whatever, and it slides in, that the other end will hit the other bank, so it can't sink. But at least, you know, from the deck, you know, you have a nice view of the water and everything like that. Don't have to worry that it's going to... No one's going to get seasick. You know, it has its advantages, but you understand. So you have to know what you're dealing with. So even though there's an inherent nature, there is also the individual nature, the specific. Does that make sense? But it's within the general category. Does that make sense? So that's what you have to do. So here, you have boy, you have girl, they have an inherent nature, but then they have specifics. So Devahuti has a nature, Kardama has a nature. So one, you have to see that the specific, I mean, the generic is matched, you know, in other words, she's being married to a boy, not an armchair or something. You know? Yeah, like that. Nice armchair. There's nothing we're saying anything bad about the armchair. You understand? But then specifically you have to match. Is that? Yeah.
Is it true that for the girl the marriage samskara is equivalent to upanayanam?
Yes. So all the benefits you get from upanayanam is being there. Like that. So that's the whole thing. Is everything's worked out that everyone gets the same benefit, but you have to know how. Because if a girl gets the benefit the same way a boy does, they don't get the same benefit. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing, is that the techniques are different. Externals may look the same, but techniques are different. Mm-hmm. Means that means if you're dealing with cause and effect, you know, it means we're using that as a principle instead of I'm the controller and enjoyer, right? Because we've used that. But if it gets more specific, you have cause and effect. So cause would be the controller, effect would be the enjoyer, right? So then, for the boy, it's, I've done this, it's gotten a result, I'm the cause of that. Mm-hmm. That's what's important. Enjoying the result, you know, it's never been said that the men are the great enjoyers. You know, they always try to fluff it up and say they are, but, you know, generally they always end in some revolution or, you know, somebody poisons them or something. So all these great so-called enjoyers, you know, it always ends up, doesn't end up so good for them. But they always feel that they're the cause of something. Right? Does that make sense? But for the girl, it's the effect that's important. Doesn't matter how you got it, as long as you get the effect. That's why sometimes you see girls come up with very strange processes to get an effect. And the boy will say, no, that won't get the effect. Because it's not about the mechanics, it's about the effect itself. Mm-hmm. You understand? But to get an effect, there has to be a cause. Mm-hmm. Yes. And the only point to a cause, you can only say it's a cause if there's an effect. Mm-hmm. You understand? So therefore, the masculine and feminine principles require each other, but their view on the activity is different. So the common point is the action itself. Right? If you're the cause, you're doing an action. So that action generated the effect. So I'm the cause of that. Mm-hmm. If I'm the effect, then there has to be a cause and an action to get it. Does that make sense? So, the common point is the endeavor. That's where the two come together, but their perspective on endeavor is exactly opposite. You understand? So that's the... Does that make sense? And then to balance that, The girl knows that she's the cause of why he's working so hard,
yes.
And he thinks I'm the, you know, the effect is because of me, you know what I'm saying? So in that way, then it all balances out. Otherwise, everything would run too smoothly. You understand? So wherever you have, then it always switches. That's the whole point. So the Vedic is having the knowledge to know at which point, in which situation, which way are you looking at it? Because you adjust that situation, it switches. So that's why it seems to be inconsistent. That's why the Vedic system is so sophisticated, that's why it's hard to understand. It's not that it's archaic, it's hard to understand. It was so easy to understand. Why is it it's only the scientists are really worried about the laws of nature? So intelligent, and they're the only ones that come up and understand the laws. You understand? On a theoretical point. Practical, every farmer knows, but, you know, the theoretical then, you know. Does that make sense? You go out every year, move the rocks around, you know, play with the dirt a little bit like that, the olive tree is happy. You don't do that, it's not happy. Right? That's all. Somebody says, but then a scientist will get into a whole thing of what happens when you move the rocks around and play with the dirt a little bit. But that's based on the laws of nature.
Right.
So the great intelligent people, they're spending their time trying to analyze the material nature, and they're doing it by observation. On the Vedic, you're already at advantage. The Shastra already tells you what's happening. And then you expand from there. That's the whole point. Then you expand from there. So you're already ahead. Even a kid's already ahead of a scientist because he has real knowledge. While for the scientist, he's based on speculative knowledge. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. So the reason Vedic culture is not appreciated, it's too scientific for the modern mind. But the modern mind, due to passion and ignorance, is too proud. Because we have to remember, false ego comes from ignorance. So because of that ignorance, they think, oh, this system, I can't understand it, therefore it's something lower. Right? But if I can't understand it, if we just look at it, and even in the modern academy, the first grader doesn't understand his older brother's math book. Why not? Because it's lower than him? It's higher. So ignorance reverses these things. Does that make sense? Yes.
I'm just trying to think of an application of that male-female dichotomy you were saying. Let's take the example of like fixing car engines or programming, you know, on a computer. Like women are also qualified to do those things, but men, they find sheer joy out of that discovery.
Yeah.
And they just. But for women, it's about getting the result, about what is actually produced from it.
So that's the point. That's what we're saying. The man is, his point is the cause. I invented this, I did that. The world, a woman doesn't care that I invented it, she cares I get the benefit from it. You know? You know, it's like Einstein's, not Einstein, who's the light bulb guy?
Edison.
He's there, his friends are coming over. It's like his wife just comes in, turns on the light, and goes about her business. You understand? That's the whole point. You know? So that's the difference in mentality. So that's why it has to be that middle cause. You have to know what the other one's thinking.
Yeah.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
No. No. Okay. Not going to take it to the next step. It's going to be too obvious, too revealing. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the whole point. Is that. Because ultimately, what's the point of doing something unless it can be enjoyed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the Niti Shastra says, if you have money but you're not using it and then benefiting from it, what's the point? It's as good as having no money.
Mm-hmm.
Like the rich man who's a miser, he's as good as a poor man.
Mm-hmm.
Like you see their house, it looks just the same. Forget what it is. It's the house I stay in Brisbane. It's in one of the older areas. And down the street from him is this, for the suburb, it's a fairly large property. It's probably equal to two or three other people's property.
on the same street. The house is run down, unpainted. I think there was the time before, there was a broken window. Out in the yard, there's just just old scrap trucks, cars, you name it, it's out there. Now you'd think, now this is the last of the slum, you know, of the area. But the actual point was, is that's the guy who used to own the whole area. He's the richest guy there. And then as time went, he sold all the other properties that are there. So the guy's super rich. Right? But he's very careful about his money. Therefore, he looks just the same as somebody who's poor. You know, except for the chickens and the dust, it would look the same as if you went to Mexico or something. Like that. But it was exactly the same. So that's the thing. He's got money, but he's not taking care. He's not enjoying it. Mm-hmm. So that's what the Shastra says. So you have to balance. So just making the money or making the facility, mm-hmm. but if you don't enjoy it, mm-hmm. you know, it's just like the scientist, he invents it, but who enjoys it? Someone else. You understand? So it's not balanced. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that's the... Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Does that work?
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
It seems that in the Western approach, science is more masculine and religion is more feminine.
Yes. Yes. Like that. Yes, because you're dealing on the sentiment rather than the science and one, and just the science has minimal... You try to hide the sentiment as much as possible.
Yes.
I mean, it's the reason the scientist is there is he has that drive, that sentiment, he has to do it. You know, like the Wilbur brothers, they have to fly, you know, and stuff like that. So, but it's sentiment that they're doing it. They could be doing something else. They could be making a washing machine or something, but, you know, instead they're trying to make an airplane. Does that make sense? So there's always some aspect of it. But the point is yes, it's out of balance. So the two are opposite each other. I was just thinking the other day is that you start with means, now how do people get inspired? I have a group of people and I want to get everybody inspired at the same level. The easiest to use is sentiment. Right? Not that the sentiment's not founded, but I use sentiment. So now, you give that sentiment, that technique a few hundred years, and then what do you have? Just sentiment. No one knows the philosophy at all. There's a few theologians sitting around in some, you know, monastery in some out-of-the-way, cold place that, you know, the only thing going for them is their, you know, that they happen to make, you know, some variety of wine or champagne. But other than that, you know, nothing else is happening. Right? And so then you give that, then it's only sentiment. But it's actually knowledge that's going to balance it, and people know why they're doing things. Otherwise, you take the sentiment to extreme, then you get a fanatic kind of thing. So it has to be balanced with the knowledge. That's what Prabhupada wanted the devotees to study the books. They should read them, they should study them. Right? So both should go on. Right? Does that make sense? So the study means then you analyze, you sit, you know, you discuss, like that. So then that makes it, then you know why. Because the sentiment is going to be the experience. But you have to know why. Right? If you only have the knowledge, that's the masculine. If you only have the sentiment, that's the feminine. You have to have the balance of the two. Mm-hmm. Everything's balanced. Right? So you know, let's say we have a actual, you know, Naistika Brahmachari. And you have a Brahmachari. Okay? Which one's rough, which one's gentle? The Brahmachari is rough, the Naistika is gentle. You understand? There's always a balance. You understand? Because they're situated in that detachment, then that feminine aspect can manifest, so socially it's nice. Right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then the other, it goes the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So there's always a balance. It's just whether it's a recommended balance or not. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You have a bus. The back of the bus is a huge amount of gold. At the other end of the bus are all the people trying to get it to drop off the edge, right? Right? You know the bus?
Italian.
Okay, yeah. So it's a balance. No? Yeah. So that's the thing. There's no such thing as anything. It will always go into balance. But it may be a non-recommended balance. You know, it's not a nice balance.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is the Veda gives a recommended balance. And then it works very nice. We see, that's the point, from the Bhagavatam, we see the example that the Vedic has used. It's working. And so, externally, as pleasantly as good as it's going to get, but at the same time, everybody knows, as we'll see, especially coming up in this pastime, because basically, as far as material arrangements go, you're not going to get any better than this arrangement. This is the, you could say, the best arrangement in, you know, the history of this universe. Right? And from it, we'll see Devahuti is going after all that. She's not saying that it shouldn't have happened, but she'll say, I've been cheated. Because I didn't get Krishna consciousness. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole point. That's why it's used, because then you'll get the best, and then you'll also be able to see is that it's still not up to the standard that what the soul's actually looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In other words, you take care of the conditioning, then the soul can now look at it as a soul. But if the soul is looking at it as the conditioning, the tendency is trying to get that. But once that's gained, then you can look, okay, I got whatever you can. Still, it's not enough. That's why these pastimes are here. Otherwise, why, you know, we're opening up here. This is one of the first major pastimes is there. The second canto is basically philosophy. Right? That sets the groundwork of what Kardama Muni is doing. What Brahma is doing in creating the universe. Right? And then from doing that, this is the natural culture. So that's what's also the hard point. Oh, if it's so philosophical and that, why would there be so much arrangement for enjoyment?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the nature. So that it's done. So how much is the understanding one is how much you can produce on the other. Otherwise, if you only produce the one, it doesn't end up so good at the end. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like they say Elvis's disappearance was glorious. You know, it's overbalanced one way. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, so you see that Vedic knowledge is better than science. But we can see that science...
No, but Vedic knowledge is science. We're talking about you have science that's based on authority or speculative science. So science is based on authority means this is the way it is. I apply my intelligence to observe the principle of science with what I see. Right? So I have a place to start from. So then I can then try to work and see that where I'm starting, because I'll only view what's of value to me. Right? Leaky will only go out with a paintbrush with no paint and then play around in the dust. Right? He's not going to do something else, right? But another scientist will be sitting there playing around with atoms. Right? White dust. Dust is not small enough, right? Instead, so everyone, according to their nature, is going to play with the material energy. But the difference is, in the Vedic, is for your value, you have a actual standard. And then you try to connect it to it. Right? While in the modern, you have a value, and then it can be 360 degrees from where you're going. And guaranteed, whatever you come up with as a theory, there's a guy with 180 degree opposite to it. So only if I've come up with it, I've been smart enough that it came up without any opposition, then I'm the guy and I get the prize. But give it another year or two, someone will come up with the opposite, and then I just go into obscurity. Does that make sense? Why? Because there is, it can go anywhere. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I mean, you can make so many, invent, I mean...
Invent, but you can invent based on what? Can I get a piece of lead to fly? Why not? I could say, no, but one day we'll have the knowledge to be able to do this. Couldn't I? Okay. That's what they say. That's the scientist line, not our line. It's always one day. You know, it's always the, what do you call it? What is her name? Yeah, post-dated check, but what's her name? Kansas Wallace? Dorothy.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? No? One day over the rainbow, there'll be that perfect, you know, society. Right? You know, it's just like I saw someone thing talking about there's no room in Chicago. So what's the solution? They'll build underground. Right? So they're showing this thing, the lady comes with the pram, gets into this nice open glass elevator, pushes the button, and she's going to the 76th floor down. And as she goes through all these parks and nice and trees and sun, and then down, and then another one down, and another one, like that. But then what is not really noticed is, what's right next to Chicago? The Great Lakes. So that means the water table is quite high. Right, so it doesn't have any more value than, you know, how do you say? Yeah. It just gets weird. Okay.
Subterranean realms at that point.
Yeah. I was just thinking of Scrat on the center of the earth and creating the continental drift. That makes sense? Yeah, so the whole point is that you can say anything you like, but what is the... Now, do birds fly?
Yes.
Okay. Why does a bird fly? What is the difference between, let's say, a bird of the size and a mammal of the same size? Is it just that they have wings?
Well, they got some nature.
Nature, but anything else? Okay, it's not your area of knowledge. They got hollow bones. Their whole structure is light. They look big, but they're dinky, right? You know, the bird looks this big, but it's actually this big.
Their volume mass ratio.
Yeah, you understand?
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing. Is that they? So now you have an airplane. They have to do the same thing, right? Is an airplane made out of, you know, how you say, steel, you know, sheets? No, it's made out of super light stuff, you know, very hollow. They have to make all this, you know, triangulation to make everything, what do you call it, honeycombing, to make it very light. But where did they get the honeycomb from? Right? Scientists made it up himself? No. The bees had it. Even the one before I said about Chicago, where'd they get that from? The termites. Yes, right? They live underground. You understand? So it's that they get everything from nature and then claim that it's something separate. So there is no difference between science and religion. It's only religion doesn't understand science, science doesn't understand religion, so it seems that there's a difference. But they're exactly the same thing. The science of something is the religion of the same thing. The science of ants, of an ant colony, is the religion of ants. There's no difference. So we don't have any problem with science. We have a problem with the scientist. Because he thinks that science is functioning separately from the Supreme. It's just chance. If it was chance, there would be no science. But if there's laws of nature, that's why there's science. So there's no such thing as chance. Does that make sense?
But I wonder, I mean, you know, so many laws of nature, I mean, we can prove so many things, but why they don't accept there's any, I mean...
Because they're atheists, that's all. They're atheists. So most did. Previously, most scientists all believed that there was God.
All the founding fathers.
Yeah, all the founding fathers, they all believed. It's just now, the modern guys, it's just, you know, I mean, it's just like this. I can't talk, I can't move, I'm in a wheelchair, but I got a super big brain, and that's going to drive me nuts, right? You know, if I was a bit dull, then I wouldn't mind, but I'm super smart. So, now if I look at this, then how did I get like this? Because I didn't plan it myself, my parents didn't plan it, so that means there must be a higher power that did this. And so that power did that to me, so I don't like that bigger power. So now how am I going to spend my life? Saying they don't exist, right? Just like, you know, say you have a family relative that there's a really strong disagreement, you know, that just breaks the family. Now, there's a good chance that when you meet other friends and this and that, they don't even know you have a brother or sister. Why? Because they don't exist. Right? So it's just natural. So therefore, it's because of his having an understanding that there is a supreme, that's how he takes that atheistic position. Because then there's competition. So he's one to show he's the biggest brain. You understand?
Envious.
Envious, yeah. That's why we came here. So you just take it to extreme, you get an atheist. You lessen it, then you have somebody who has faith. So someone with faith is less envious than someone who doesn't have faith. Right? And then the, who do you call it, the middle is the agnostic? The agnostic is in the middle, so therefore it's just a matter of depending on association will go one way or the other. Right? So you avoid the atheists and deal with the faithful and the agnostics. Right? Because otherwise, why waste your time? Because the atheist is an atheist now, but give him a few thousand or million lifetimes, and they'll be faithful. So let devotee preachers then deal with them. You understand?
Right.
You know. Does that make sense? You know, you do general things. You distribute prasad and do, you know, public stuff, so they get some agyata sukriti, but you don't make an over-endeavor if you find out they're atheistic. Because otherwise it's too much work. You have limited time, you have too much... I could put all energy into this guy and maybe get him where it's maybe okay. The same energy I could make 100 people devotees. Now, which is better? So that's... You understand?
But nowadays, usually those 80s and they come to everything. They are in the high position.
Because they're more materialistic. They take materialism more seriously. So you either see they're very material, they're very atheistic or very pious. But, you know, how much is their position and how long do they stay there? Well, you find those who are pious, you don't hear about them, they're not in the limelight, but they've been there for hundreds of years. That makes sense. The celebrity is well known, but not necessarily pious, and then after how long, you never hear about it again. Does that make sense? I was thinking, the number 27 gets them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, the pious ones, it's 72 gets them. Okay? Yeah?
Yes. I was reading
conversation the other day, Prabhupada was asked the question, but you know, modern science, technology has given so many advancements and solved so many problems, and Prabhupada has responded, what problems they have solved? They haven't solved any problem. Birth, death, old age, disease. Which ones have they solved?
Yeah. I was thinking that it would be interesting that you had the general world statistics on lifespan. Mm-hmm. So with, you know, modern medicine and health and these things, they've raised the lifespan. Then it struck me as that if you look at it, the overall, it's higher. But if you actually started to go specific again, you know, to just the first world, you probably find that in the first world that the lifespan has dropped. You know, not much, but it's gone up and dropped. While then in the other, you know, it's coming up. So therefore, it still looks like the whole thing's, you know, doing okay. That there's a good chance. Because before it was, you know, people, you know, got heart attacks when they were old, not, you know, younger. And all these different things. You know, it's just, you see there's this little bit of element of younger. So that's the whole thing, is these things they don't solve. You get rid of one disease, you get another one. Right? You get rid of
one.
You get rid of the common flu, you get Ebola.
And it's not about quantity, it's quality.
Quality, yes,
of course. Quality.
Unstoppable disease.
Yes, none of this, you know. That's for poof does. Yes.
So, as a principle, prakriti is dependent on Purusha. Can we say that Purusha is in any way dependent or mutually interdependent on prakriti?
In the way of rasa.
Yeah.
But in the way of existence, no.
Right.
See, that's the thing, is prakriti has no existence separate from the Supreme. Yeah. But the Supreme can exist, though prakriti is there, without manifestation.
Right.
So you can say make sense?
It's like Satchidananda, like facilities, knowledge, and happiness. There's a dependence, but that doesn't work the other way around necessarily.
No, because Krishna is Sat. He is existence. But the point is that it's not about Sat. That's not the main principle. Mm-hmm. It's about happiness. So of the three Shaktis, the Icha, Kriya, and Jnana, it's the Icha that's the prominent one. Everything's about Icha. Mm-hmm. The desire, the will. Mm-hmm. The will of the Lord. So he wants to enjoy with the pastime, with the devotees. So because of that, that manifests the Dham, the devotees, mm-hmm. the pastimes. But to do that, you must have the existence of them, jnana, and you must have the mechanics of the endeavor of that. Mm-hmm. That's the Kriya. Mm-hmm. You understand? So those support each other. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So the Ananda aspect is the prominent aspect. That's why then the feminine is the prominent aspect. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, as we were discussing, let's take a purely masculine environment. You know, you don't have one that we know about, but there is one. It's called Tapaloka. Right? You just have all these celibates that sit around. They have their own place. Now and again, they come together, but not by walking. They just appear in a place. They all discuss things until they're satisfied, and then they all just disappear back to their places again. Mm-hmm. You know, no dishes, no laundry, you know, no cooking, no nothing. Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's just purely intellectual. You know, but it's balanced, because then it's all about the mind, it's all about meditation. So that's the feminine aspect. But as far as the culture goes, it's just pure masculine.
Why was meditation the feminine aspect?
Because it's the mind. Right? But even using the mind, they're using it intellectually. You know, so there's always going to be those elements of balance. Okay.
Adhyaya Prakashita. Oops.
The 22nd chapter describes how the king, after speaking in a pleasing manner and giving his daughter to Kardama, knower of truth, returns to his kingdom. Swayambhuva Manu glorifies Kardama Muni, and in doing so, he glorifies the relationship between the Kshatriyas and the Brahmanas. Swayambhuva Manu and Kardama then spoke about Kardama Muni's acceptance of Devahuti. Swayambhuva Manu's daughter as his wife, acceptance of Devahuti, Swayambhuva Manu's daughter as his wife, and Kardama accepted Devahuti on the condition that he would be given permission to leave home and take sannyas as soon as a child be born. He returned to his majestic kingdom, within which he enjoyed incredible material opulence, beyond the miseries of material existence, and yet made advancement in spiritual life. Manu, at the end of his life, went back to Godhead. So we see this balance that comes up in here between these two, is that we see both Kardama and Swayambhuva are, you could say, enjoying material facilities to the maximum. That's because it's not about enjoying the material facilities. It's about performance of their duties. So they're performing their duties to the maximum. And so in the Grihastha Ashram, that means generating facilities for the senses. Right? And then engaging those. Their senses are engaged and they're getting the aspect of detachment to go back to God. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
So you could say is that probably one of the most major points is, it doesn't come here, it comes in the, I think in the next chapter. Devahuti makes the point is that any work that doesn't culminate in religious life is a waste of time. Any performance of ritualistic duties that doesn't result in renunciation is a waste of time. And anyone situated in renunciation who doesn't develop devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has wasted their time. So that means all these things have to culminate in the next one. Point is this, what's the use of enjoying the senses if it doesn't generate, renunciation? And the work, what's the use of having the facilities if it doesn't generate using them in a religious way? Because otherwise, then you lose them. It doesn't become progressive. I work, I get facilities, I don't use them religiously, then what's the next position? I lose them all and I reduce my position. Right? So you want to go from anamoy, pranamoy, up to manamoy. Right? Then from that manamoy into the ashram aspect where I'm trying to develop the character that develops renunciation that takes me to vijnanamoy. Right? And the vijnanamoy only has a meaning if you're trying to develop anandamoy. Right? Does that make sense? So you're trying to progress. Now, if I don't use those religiously, right, then I will go backwards. So that's the whole thing. So this is complete that your lifestyle and your sadhana and everything matches. Otherwise, you can have nice faith and devotional service, but not live a lifestyle that matches it. But it's because the holy name is so powerful, you will be dragged along. But it doesn't mean that your material life will be anything to write home about. At least not nice about. Does that make sense? You have to remember, gossip is based on what's not good, not what's good. You know what I'm saying? It's not gossip sitting up, oh yes, I had such a nice morning with my daughter and that, thank dad, and the interaction was so good and respectful and this care. That's not gossip. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it's not popular. Vedic doesn't produce gossip. Right? What to do? Doesn't mean you can't make some gossip. That's another thing. But it doesn't naturally produce it. So.
We can find it.
You can find it, yes. You can always find it. Okay, Shloka Anushar. Summary verses. Verses 1 to 125. Manu offers his daughter in marriage to the sage, who fortuitously accepts her. 26 to 39. Manu returns to his kingdom. Please take forward. Hands over his daughter. Split. But that was mentioned. Verses 1 to 25. Manu offers a daughter in marriage to the sage who fortuitously accepts her. Sri Maitreya said, after describing the greatness of the emperor's manifold qualities and activities, the sage became silent, and the emperor, feeling modest, addressed him as follows. Footnote 5. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, fearing that Kardama would refuse his daughter in marriage, Manu first explains with reasoning the relationship between the Brahmas and Kshatriyas in the next two verses. Right, because otherwise he's glorified him, but based on the principle of him being the emperor, he being a Kshatriya, and what wonderful things that they do, and how they as Brahmins are able to function. That doesn't mean he's going to accept his daughter. Right? He's been visited by the emperor. Naturally, he's going to receive him well and deal nicely with him. He also have the aspect that you don't really, is not brought out in this whole pastime, that he is his brother. Right? But they're not dealing on that platform. They're dealing on the topic at hand about the position of marriage. Right? And this, the sage receiving Swayambhuva. Does that make sense? Yes? No? You lost it. You lost. Yes. Okay. Is that depending on the situation, you emphasize that aspect. Just like, let's say, two brothers are going to get some work done, they focus on the work, not on that they're brothers.
Yes.
Let's say they're just going to, you know, have some fun, it's because they're brothers. Mm-hmm. You understand? So it's just a different... So in this pastime, it's not really brought out that they're brothers, though they are. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. But it's brought out the relationship in the way of the marriage arrangement. Does that make sense? Because... for us, it's not important that they're brothers. Because on our level, you can't marry, you know, you wouldn't marry in this situation.
Yes.
But they're sons of Brahma, they're mind born, so that you don't have a problem with, you know, the what do you call it, the blood lines having a problem.
Yes.
Right? You understand? Once you get to the Prajapatis, then from there, then now you worry about it. But up to the Prajapatis, you don't worry about it. So that's why it's not at all brought out. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, so just for own information, if you ever have kids, just through the mind and everything, then their kids, your grandkids can be married, it's not a problem.
Yes.
That's good to know.
Yeah, it's always good to know. Options.
So now, here in this story, it's mainly the position of Brahmana and Kshatriya?
Yes, you have both. That's there because he's already explained the glory of the emperor. But now you're going to see the relationship between the Brahman and Kshatriya and the glory of the Brahman. So you always get this, you know, that completeness. Because the point is if the Kshatriya is so glorious, they wouldn't be, what's the meaning of their glory unless the Brahmins are glorious?
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
The two go together.
Yes. Yes.
Just like we were saying, on Tapaloka, you see there is just the glory of the Brahmins. But is there a social structure there? No, zero structure.
Mm-hmm.
So to have a structure, you have to have Kshatriyas. You understand? Without Kshatriyas, there is no structure. Brahmins know the structure, but Kshatriyas is effective. So if Brahmins teach Kshatriyas, Kshatriyas get it done. But in getting it done, you still need direction. It's not that I learned it, now I know everything. You constantly have to have. Because you're focusing on how to apply it, but someone else is focusing on how the theory it works. So just as much as the emperor here is advancing in his ability to manage, the Brahmin is advancing in his understanding of the system because that's what he deals with. Does that make sense? Yes.
Marge, a few classes ago you mentioned that the way the matchmaking system works is that rather than the girl make the proposition and potentially get insulted, better the parents do it and they get insulted.
Yeah, they get insulted.
So if he actually fears that his daughter maybe refused, why would he bring her with him? Why would not just arrange it discreetly, privately?
It's mentioned in purports that he wanted them to be satisfied with the arrangement. In other words, he's making the arrangement, but he wanted to make sure they're satisfied with it. So, therefore, this is the balance. The father makes the arrangement, it's his arrangement, it doesn't matter if anybody else likes it, because that's the other side of it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know, just like, otherwise you get the husband says jump and the wife is supposed to say in the men's mind how high. But it's actually, he says jump and then she looks at him and then he says how high. Does that make sense? Okay. So this is how you say it. Just in here we have an example of Gyan and Vidya. Did we answer it? Or?
Yeah, there's a balance. It's not one extreme.
No, so you're always trying to make the balance. So by bringing, then it's there.
Yeah.
It's not that he also has a lot of other options. She may be the only girl in the universe at this time. You know, so it's, it also would be, like he says here, fortuitous for him to accept. But this is not the point. It's not about, you know, we're not talking about desperados here or something. We're talking about, you know, well, what the heck, you know.
Fish in the sea.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that, and then, you know, and then after they're all sitting there, then Swayambhuva and Kardama go to the side, you know, work out the prenup, and then, you know, come back. Yeah, everything's like that. So she gets the flying palace, he gets the hut, right, you know, like that. She gets to keep the 2,000 maidservants. He gets his deer skin. Yeah, so you have this balance. Is that, in other words, it's showing the point that he may have found something, but the wife and the daughter should be satisfied with it. Right? So it's not a matter of, it's not the ultimate political this and that. It's not like the 57th concubine for the king, you know, so that your family's in a good position, you know, because if it doesn't work out right, it's just like, what was the name? Number 3, Henry? Can't remember. She was the big one. Like that. But whatever it is that her family got in the good books because she married him, but then when she lost her head, then they lost everything. You know what I'm saying? So we're not talking political here. We're talking about the arrangement of that it's a proper arrangement for the couple. Right? If it's a proper arrangement for the couple, it will work out for the rest of the family. So just like we said, you have to know where to focus. Not it's good for the family, therefore the couple. No, I'm not talking this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not political marriage or this kind of stuff. Does that make sense?
There is such a thing as political marriage as described by money, though, isn't there?
It's not so much political marriage, it's just Kshatriyas marry Kshatriyas, so then you could say it's political, but it's not done.
Yeah.
That's not the main point. It's, in other words, if, let's say, you have the elements where one king's conquered by another, he offers his daughter.
Yeah.
But the thing is it is a proper match.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Like you were also mentioning the example of Subhadra potentially having to marry Duryodhan, and she would have been okay.
She would have been okay because it's been arranged, but the point is that there is the aspect of Yoga Maya works for Krishna. Balaram manages Yogamaya, but she works for Krishna. Yeah. So therefore Krishna knows that she's not actually happy with her. You know what I'm saying? The arrangement of it, you're marrying your sister to the emperor of the world, not bad. You know? So mechanically it's a good arrangement. So like that, they're from a great race. You married to, well, they're from the moon, that you married to the sun dynasty. That's good. So from that it's good. But from the Icha aspect, then it's not, you know. Therefore when Arjuna is offered as an alternative, then it's like, you know, yes. Then we're talking. You know. Does that make sense? Yeah. So there, it's, and it also makes the pastimes. In other words, Kriya is to support the pastime. So if there's any difference, it's just to make the pastime better. Make it more fun. Right? If Balaram is, you know, upset about Arjuna, then it makes it more fun. You know, they're Kshatriyas. You know, if they're just going to sit around and everything be so peaceful, what's the meaning? Oh, they're all there yelling and screaming and getting their armor and this and making plans and, you know, showing their anger. Yeah. That's fun, right? And then, but Krishna's peaceful because it's going to be fun to take that insane situation and make it peaceful and favorable, right? We're thinking the less crazy it is, the better. But for Krishna, it's fun. Take crazy, make it into favorable. He does it all the time. That's his pastime. Right? Otherwise, why would Radha and Krishna be the top pastime? You know? Does that make sense? So then you have the other aspect is because one's Kshatriya, one's Brahmin, that it wouldn't be a proper match. Right? There would be that element. But because he's pointing out the relationship between the Brahmins and Kshatriyas is so close, they're basically the same entity, just two different kinds of mentalities. So then it can work. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
I would say that a consideration of the good of the family and both families and compatibilities, it's political or just...
No, political means it's not about the girl's marriage, it's about the effect that marriage will have.
If it's not both.
Then it's mixed. Then it's mixed. Means if it's about the girl finding the right one, and then it, along with it, it has a good political, then that's fine. Yeah, that's just of course is going to be you're putting together two families, as Mama points out. But it's a matter of it's not about the family one. You know, in other words, if it's okay, this is the best marriage, but it's not necessarily the best political alignment. And this one is okay marriage, but it's a good political alignment. You would choose the better marriage alignment. You know what I'm saying? You know? Does that make sense? You know, we're talking down on our level. You know, because when you're talking up on their level, the point is that they can function whatever environment because of the nature of duty. Even if it's not ideal, it'll function.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, our level, then you would avoid that. You would avoid. You would pick what's the best arrangement for the child. Right? Because the marriage is their center of where they prosper. Right? You've had your marriage, so now they have their marriage. Does that make sense?
And the next question then. What's better, material consideration, like economical considerations, or just the character match?
So the character match will make everything else work. It's just like this. If why does somebody work hard? Because they're inspired. So if the relationship is good, then it will be at its best.
But their best is not exactly level the girl is used to.
But the point is if the character matches, then they're happy. Right? Because it's which you would rather have? A very standoffish relationship with a husband that tons of money, or a good relationship with a husband even though you don't have much money? That's what I say. It's a tough one. Now you're sitting there. Do I answer this the way he expects me to answer, the way I want to answer?
No, it's from experience.
Yes.
Okay. That would be a third option.
Yeah, the third one you like. A lot of money.
But not money and bad options.
Yeah. Can he be a billionaire and be Brad Pitt? So it means you have to balance the whole thing, but it has to be that you're sincerely trying to make the dog happy. But now the values are going to be there. Now let's say if you're coming from an economic kind of background, then that element's going to be very important. Does that make sense? So, but at the same time, not to the point where the relationship won't work. But let's say for us as devotees, the relationship as friends is actually the most important element. The Graha Maitri. Are the planets friends? So will they get along? Because the situations that devotees function in, it's so varied and all that you know what I'm saying? It's not that you're setting up necessarily a great material situation. You know, some can, most can't. You know what I'm saying? Just because it's like you stay in one place, do the same thing for your whole life, generally you get your mortgage paid. You know what I'm saying? But if you keep moving around and this and that, it doesn't always work out. So the point is if that friendship is there, that companionship, then it will make the other things work. So that's why then these things are given in an order of what's important. Yes.
I was just thinking in the histories, you hear a lot about Svayambars, where the bride, she has the freedom to choose, or it's like a test or a show of prowess. So it seems that there's actually a lot of freedom or detachment on the side of the Kshatriya family in one sense. It's like a gamble.
Well, one is that everybody who comes has to be qualified Kshatriyas.
Uh-huh.
So right there, then you have basically a match.
Right.
Because you have someone who's very properly Kshatriya marrying someone who's very properly Kshatriya, it works.
Uh-huh.
You know, and naturally you have those who show up that are from the same social status.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it won't be outside that. Two is, you know, so therefore then from among that, then you can choose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, let's say, the child's on a diet, so I put together every possible arrangement you could have from that diet, and then the child can choose.
Yeah.
So it's always going to work out. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that to do a Svayambar means there's a lot of arrangement. It's not just, you know, hey, we just, you know, open the door, is anybody hungry? And say, you know, that kind of thing, you know. That's...
Yeah.
It's like that. And then if there's greater qualification, then a lot of times they'll have those a test.
Mm-hmm.
Because then of Kshatriyas, then only this limited amount. So what's the point you're looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Like for Sita, then she could lift the bow that only Shiva could lift. Mm-hmm. That means nobody else can lift it. So therefore she had a husband who could lift the bow.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because why can she lift the bow? Because of her divine nature. So therefore it would take another divine person to lift the bow.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? And so then you see that then finally when Parasaram shows up, you know, and then complains about the breaking of the bow. So when he calls the bow of Vishnu, instead of ending up in his hand, it ends up in Ram's hand. Then it's understood. He's you know, you know, higher up in the expansions than he is. He's Swayam and he's an expansion. So like that, then it's... Does that make sense? But at any point, the girl has choice. That's why it's seen in the Swayambar for Draupadi. When Karna steps up, she says, I don't accept it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not up. So in other words, whoever she accepts as an option is in the running.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have all these things to balance. Mm-hmm. So it's still working out.
Of the rites, that's considered Gandharva?
No, that's Prajapatya.
Okay.
Like that. Svayamvara is within the one where it's the approval of the father, but it's the choice of the daughter.
Okay.
You know, and say, choice means her arrangement. Because mm-hmm. here she's going to choose. He's not choosing. He's only creating a field for her to choose within. Mm-hmm. So it's an appropriate environment, mm-hmm. you know, where any choice will be good. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the whole point, is the father's arrangement, that any choice she chooses will be a good arrangement. Mm-hmm. But he's made that endeavor. So that will be a little bit more on the father's side. The other is that where the father hasn't made an arrangement, the daughter makes the arrangement, but the father approves of it.
Yeah.
Right? Because otherwise, if she's trained, she should have some idea of how to do it. But still, as we discussed before, she generally doesn't do it directly.
Yeah.
She still does it through people. Like Rukmini arranged it herself.
Yeah.
But she did it through her brothers.
Yeah. So can we extrapolate from this principle into like the whole concept of freedom? When we talk about freedom of expression, freedom of speech, it's freedom, but it's within a certain option of choices.
Yes, like, because otherwise, then how is freedom? Is it freedom of speech to get a bunch of three-year-olds together and then start cursing and swearing? You know what I'm saying? So the thing is you have to know the context. That's the whole problem when we just say generically freedom of speech. That's pranamoy. Mm-hmm. So the point is what environments and under what situations is the definition of freedom defined?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Is what is it about? In other words, if I have a opinion of value to the situation of the community, I should be able to express that. Mm-hmm. But if I have an opinion to express that has no value to the community that I'm expressing it in, what's the point? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, let's say you're having a symposium of scientists, you know, speaking on a certain aspect of the atom. And then suddenly in the door, you know, smashing through the door comes, you know, some artist or something, and then he gets up on the podium and says, you know, I have my rights, you know, I can speak at this podium, I want to talk about, you know, my saxophone. Then that goes off on this and that, and, you know, so could you say that's freedom of speech? You know what I'm saying? The point is, I'm sure they'd argue this for years ago to the Supreme Court, but the point is it's not about that. It's in the appropriate environment, you have the right to speak. Mm-hmm. But you have to know the environment. That's why the Vedic culture is so sophisticated, that everybody has their freedom of speech, has their rights, has the everything. But at the same time, it's to balance that everybody has their obligations. Mm-hmm. So, because the modern kind of environment is about the, you know, how do you say, the half a duck, you know, logic, that I only want the part that lays the golden egg. I don't want to have anything to do with the one that quacks and eats. Right? Therefore, then they'll say the Vedic culture is restrictive because it doesn't allow me to do nonsense. Mm-hmm. So the idea of freedom means you do something beneficial, not that I do something stupid. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the whole thing, is that there must be balance. Mm-hmm. And that part of the society that actually functions is economically viable, politically viable. Mm-hmm. You know, like that, socially viable, is the one that accepts a certain amount of restrictions. Mm-hmm. To that degree that they accept, to that degree it functions. To that degree they don't, it doesn't function. A lot of talk goes on, but not a lot of function. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like this. Let's take, just as a point of this. Conservatives are always considered they take more restriction, liberals not. Let us say we have a family get together of conservatives. How many people come? Huge amount. Mm-hmm. How many people come to the liberal? Mm-hmm. Maybe nobody. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd be good if you just got your wife and your kid to come. You know, that would be like a, you know, wow, blowout get together. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Conservatives know their second cousin and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because there's more restriction, therefore you can work together. Mm-hmm. But on the mundane platform, it has problems because then the need for individual expression is reduced. Mm-hmm. Right? While the other is that the individual expression is there, but the group ethic is not functioning. Mm-hmm. So in other words, one, it's all about the group, one, it's all about the individual. But the Vedic is you have to balance both. Mm-hmm. Where it is an individual element, that has to be there, but the group can't be not seen. Mm-hmm. So you want to have both. That's called broad-minded. Mm-hmm. It has both the benefits of conservative and the benefits of the liberal, mm-hmm. and avoids the weakness of both. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that. So... That's what the Vedic is doing. So that's why it's harder to understand, because it's doing something we've never seen before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
In the situation with Devahuti, as we'll hear later in this chapter, she'd heard previously about Karuna Muni from Narada Muni and fixed her mind on him.
Yes.
And then express that to the father, and then he made the arrangement. So is that Brahma right or something else?
Yes, because it's not that you don't ask, but the point is the whole endeavor is made by the father, because the whole thing is what arrangement is he making? Mm-hmm. The one that his daughter likes.
Yes. Yes.
So how does he know what his daughter likes? There was an environment in which it could be expressed and taken seriously. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't he made a whole other arrangement and then she said, well, actually, I'd like to marry this one. And then everything changes.
Not to mention.
Yeah, no, I've seen that before. As you know, the parent invites somebody, you know, sees a prospective boy, you know, calls him in, you know, hosts him and all this and that, and, you know, has the kids around and all that. And then after they leave, then the girl in the house says to the mother, well, actually, I like the other one. And then we see the next day, oh, hey, okay. Yeah, so it wasn't one of those. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole thing, is that all of these things are there. So if he has an idea, he asks the daughter, but the point is the daughter should be trained. Because otherwise, why is it Narada Muni describes the qualities of somebody, then she would immediately say this is who she wants to marry. So that means she's qualified. It's based on character. So she has character. He has character. That's the match. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Not that he's a male model and she's a female model, and so they match. Right? He's a celebrity, she's a celebrity. You know what I'm saying? He's a celebrity, she's a model. Or, you know, whatever combination. He's filthy rich, she's a model. You know what?
But it's same social status.
Yes. Yeah, there it works. True. Yes.
For someone who's not qualified, what would be the match? Someone else is not qualified.
When you're saying not qualified, what do you mean?
In terms of character, like.
The point is you see the charts. So the charts will tell you what is the basis. See, the point is even if they're qualified, you still have to make it work. Let's say I give you first class ingredients for cooking. Is that guaranteed to be a good meal? It depends on the cook. A bad cook with good ingredients will make something bad. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe it won't be as bad as if it was bad ingredients. Right? I gave you mild cheddar instead of Limburger, you know, when you were making the preparation.
You can burn anything, though. You can burn anything.
True. Now this is... yeah, if you said it, that would be gone. The role switch here. Yeah, see, I was talking before about perspective. Another perspective. Does that make sense? So you're going to have to work anyway, even if you have a perfect arrangement like that. you still have to make it work. You know what I'm saying? All it is that since you have to, in other words, you have to make the perfect amount of work. So therefore, since you have to go to so much work, you want to see that the elements that you're working with are the best to work with. You understand? So it still doesn't mean that you don't look at the charts. So that has to match. Does that make sense? Then within that, then there has to be companionship. You know what I'm saying? So if they're both slobs, then it works. You know what I'm saying? That's why the putting together of the Daiva Manusha and the Rakshasa natures. Is that two Rakshasas, then the place will be a mess together. They're perfectly happy. Two Daivas, everything will be immaculate together. And Manusha would be sometimes, you know, compatibly, sometimes nice, sometimes a mess. You know, does that make sense? It'll get to be a mess and they'll both agree it needs to be cleaned. So that, you understand? So you have to match these things. So character has to be matched. So like what you said, yes, you get two persons who are unqualified, but everybody's qualified in some way. You know, they say everybody's unqualified. Let's say you have two very pure Brahminical natures, but they're not qualified to make money.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But they'll be happy.
So for someone who's not qualified, the character is even more important? Like,
in any case, qualification is character is what you're dealing with. Because as we mentioned before, if your work doesn't culminate in religious life means ashram. Work means varna. So varna is only there to support ashram. Right? And in ashram, you should be moving through from attached to detached. Right? You're trying to move towards the principle of sannyas, that everything's being done because I'm supposed to do it. But the whole point is that's only half. I'm doing it because I'm supposed to do it. What am I really supposed to be doing? I'm supposed to be pleasing Krishna. Not that I'm not pleasing myself. Right? I'm doing this selflessly. That's half the equation. The other half is I'm doing it to please Krishna. You understand? Like, in other words, I can't do ashram, I can't be effective in ashram activities unless I'm active. If I'm lazy, then I am not going to be able to perform religious duties. Religious duties should generate detachment. But the detachment is only complete when the other half is that it's to please the Lord. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So if I say, okay, all my work should please Krishna, that's the point. But then, how do I know my work's pleasing Krishna? Am I performing? Is ashram a strong element in my life? Is it working towards detachment? Mm-hmm. Then I'll know that my work is going to please Krishna. You understand? Because I'm focusing on pleasing Krishna, working to please Krishna, but I have to know the mechanics in between. Right? Then it's nice. Otherwise, then it's speculative. I just say it. It's nice.
So I've heard like a Vedic woman who's properly said she could marry anyone.
Could marry anyone. What does that mean, marry anyone? She can marry E.T. or something?
I didn't hear that.
I said E.T. I mean, he's cute, he's cuddly. He can fly if he's on a bike. If he's not on a bike, he can't fly. And you have to have your own bike. I guess if you got a tandem bike that you could fly along with him, that would be more romantic. Now the question is who rides in the front? Or you could have a single bike and just put him in the basket. Right?
Free long distance call.
Yeah. Yeah, so many advantages. Where does that come from? When Manu goes to great length to point out that they must be equal. Brahmins married Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, Shudras. You understand?
So it's like anyone from the circle?
No. Means, in other words, want to cook some potatoes. Okay, I'm going to look into the basket of vegetables and pick out potatoes. I'm going to look in the volume of pots I have and pick out a pot there. So I have to match what potatoes to what pan. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's a science. That's the thing. It's not something else. That makes sense? Yeah.
But like Kara, why he is not a good match for Draupadi?
Why is he not a good match for Draupadi?
Yeah.
So all these years we've been rooting for Kara. But you didn't want to say because your wife likes Arjuna. And now finally you found a forum to express yourself.
And Kara has good qualities.
Good qualities and charity and all that, but how does he deal with the devotees of the Lord?
Yes.
You understand? He's very pious, but he's not devotional. So Draupadi's devotional. Plus, if you look at it in prowess, has he ever won a battle? Every battle Arjuna goes into, he wins. Where have we seen Karna's winning? Any fight with the Pandavas, he's lost every single time. Every time. He doesn't have the character. You know, it means it's good, but it's not as good as the Pandavas. So it's not that the Pandavas call him a Suta, but it's not that they won't fight with him on the battlefield, because they'll only fight with a Kshatriya. It's just he has the mentality of a Suta. You understand? So it should be your mentality and your nature match. Does that make sense?
He's very heroic. Why
he's very heroic, but when it comes to, it means he walked into the exposition of the Kaurava's prowess and all that, uninvited. It's a private affair. He walks in uninvited, makes all kinds of statements, criticizes everybody, doesn't respect the guru. So where's the character? There's a flaw in the character. That makes sense? But why is he such a, he's a, you know, son of the sun god? Why is it in such a good position? Because he's a demon that was killed by Krishna. And so, as we read, then the acharyas point out when demons are killed by Krishna, but they don't understand him as the supreme personality of Godhead, then they take good, very good material births. Like Hiranyakashipu then became Ravana. You know, good facility. Does that make sense? Yes. Yes.
What should be the right reason for a sadhak to
marry? For a sadhak?
Yeah. Like sadhakas, like
devotees who are sadhakas.
Yeah.
What would be the right reason to get married?
Yeah, because they know that everything is temporary and Krishna is the ultimate. So.
Yes, but that's what you know. So you want to create realization. See, a Naistika Brahmachari means one who has the realization of that. One who has the knowledge of that, that's Upakravana Brahmachari. He'll make a good Grihastha. Yes. One who doesn't have that knowledge, better they don't get married also. It'll just be trouble. You understand? That's why Prabhupada says first class brahmachari means first class grihastha. But of first class, there's two types, realized and knowledgeable. So the one who is realized, he remains naistika. One who is knowledgeable, he gets married. So that's the whole point of the Vedic system, is to create first class brahmacharis. Right? And then they marry suitable girls. Does that make sense? So what's the intelligent way to learn?
By hearing.
By hearing. Right? What's next best? By seeing. What's next best? By experiencing. So experience is considered third class knowledge. Right? Now, in this we see is there is the point of that the experiential element, which is made now into a big philosophy, right, is considered third class knowledge. Right? So that's generally the knowledge that women have. If they experience it and it's good, it's good. If they experience it and it's bad, it's bad. So in other words, you hear about it, it has potential. Or it's something to avoid. But it's really when you experience it, then you know this is, then there's realization, right? Does that make sense? So the naistika means one who understands by hearing, and if need be, seeing. Right? He can see around and everything like that. So he gets realization. The one who has third class, who has to experience, he has the knowledge, but he needs to experience it to actually get realization. And so then who does he marry? He marries a girl. They have the same kind of intelligence. So both by, therefore, through the family life, they both realize that the material world has nothing to offer. Right? So then it's on the naturally the same platform. So now you sense it's a matter of I'm going to realize through some medium. That's why you're looking to see that there's compatibility between the two parties, that the mediums they want to use for experience are the same, or at least compatible. Right? You know, they both go down to the how do you say, sports club. He goes and plays tennis. You know, he goes and plays squash. She plays tennis. But they're both at the club. It's compatible. You know, one's into folk dancing, the other's into rugby, may not work out. No, but that's what you're supposed to work out. That's what you're looking for. That the value system is common, so therefore the things you work with. Does that make sense? Yes, no? So that's what you're trying to do. Just like you suggested before. If money is an important value in your life, you should marry someone who money is important. And then of those who money is important, if you're from a family that has money, you should marry someone who has money or can make money. You know, if you're two wannabe money people, then marry another one. You know what I'm saying? So it should match. You know, and both have money. You're working in the hundreds of thousands. They work in the millions or billions. No, it should be compatible. Right? Does that make sense? But of the two, it's better if one is in a lower position than the other. It's the girl, because girls easily come up. They you know. It's like, you know, driving around a Ford or driving around a Ferrari, they can get adjusted really easily. You know, it's one drive, you're done. It's not like, you know, you need some...
Not much training.
Yeah, not much training. Girls learn fast when it comes to these social things. So therefore, that's why the Pratilom, he's a Brahmin, she's a Kshatriya. So then it'll work. Does that make sense?
You said about this, you have to have the, some people learn to experience.
Basically, most people learn to experience. That's why we're here. Oh, that looks nice. And then here we are.
So then maybe it doesn't matter if it's happy or unhappy marriage.
Maybe the whole point is this. Does means that, you know, there's the marriage. The next morning or the next week, is there full realization? How long does it take for realization really to be there? Generally, it takes quite a few years to get knowledge. You know, you figure out after so many years, oh, this person I'm living with actually is an individual personality, and there's a way to deal with that. That takes some years. So that's dawning of knowledge. Then we're talking about real knowledge, then we're talking about realization. So that's why the Vedic system generally gives 25 years. So if it doesn't match and it only lasts 3 years, then now you have 22 years to go. And so then what is that? Then after a few years, then there's another marriage. So then the third marriage by the time you're in your 50s, right? And then, okay, now it's working smoothly. But now is when you're supposed to be working on renunciation, but now you're just finally figured out how to make the marriage work. So then by the time you do try to figure out, you're 70. You understand where we're going with this? So, okay, yeah, it's better than nothing, but it's the Malecha system of, social development. So it's not recommended in the Vedic because it's super inefficient. Does that make sense?
Yeah, my point was that when she supposed that if the marriage was unhappy, then she had to realize that.
No, because the marriage is unhappy, then you'll be thinking about who else could I be with to make marriage happy? Because there's the attachment to the principle of marriage. And so the point is when it goes nice, then you can say, been there, done that. But if it's never become nice, it's harder to do that. You can learn from it that way, but that's called the school of hard knocks. Nobody really likes that. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, why is it all the community meetings and all that, or how to make things better? You hear them at the community meetings, oh yeah, material world's a tough place, and it doesn't matter, it works or not, we just have to push through. Knock me out. Mentioned the in the last 30 years, a meeting that's ever been brought up. It's always how to make it better. And everybody wants everything. And so everybody gets nothing. Yeah, well, that's the Vedic system. Everyone's thinking, oh no, we'll only be happy. Vedic means you won't be happy. The Vedic is the only way to be happy. And then you figure out that happiness isn't that great. Right? The kid plays in the sandbox, and then as they grow up, they figure out the sandbox is not that great. So if you never let them play in the sandbox, they always want to play in the sandbox. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's what's misunderstood about the Vedic system. Always we see all here. Do we have grihasthas here that aren't going well? The whole Bhagavatam. Is there grihasthas that things don't go well? No. All of them, it goes well. But from it, then they understand it's not there. So the system of Narad Muni explains it after explaining the whole Varna ashram and feminine nature. Then he explains the system of the Malechas. Malechas put so much ghee on the fire, it goes out. Then you have a narrow window when they might take up spirituality. And if they get far enough, then great. But if they didn't get far enough, then they revert right back to where they were. What are the discussions? What are the terminologies that are used within the community? What are the goals that are trying to be got? No different than the Karmis. Zero difference. Not using Vedic terms or concepts at all. Why? What happened? The window closed. The pain they felt from the material world that drove them in Krishna consciousness is so far away they've forgotten about it. So now they're going Punar Musi Kabbalah, right back to where they started. And then the trouble they're getting is from that, but they're attributing it to the Vedic. Oh, we're having trouble because we're in Mayapur. Oh, we're having trouble because we go to the morning program. Oh, we're having trouble because, we're trying to fit into the social, the Vedic social thing. No, you're having trouble because you're not following the Vedic thing. You're having trouble because you're in the material world. You're having trouble because the soul is not the body. Does that make sense? Yeah. Understand? That's the danger in using the Malecha system. It's all right as a spring point. But as pointed out, is that only the Gyani of the neophytes is a strong enough position to take you to the Madhyama platform. Otherwise, the other three, when the pain goes away, you go away. You know, the scholars, and they finally find some scholarly thing to do, and then they're gone. Where are they? You know what I'm saying? They get some money, they go away. The pain of the material world goes away, they go away. So that's why the Malecha system is not recommended. As a start, hey, it works great, especially in Kali Yuga. It's a popular method. But you should try to situate yourself within the Vedic system because it's progressive. The modern system is in no way progressive. Does that make sense? Okay. Yes.
It seems that only the Brahmana and the Kshatriya can have character.
No, others can have character because they're devotees. Means everybody has character. It's just a matter of how much character. You know, world class, universe class character you see in these great devotees, in these Brahmin Kshatriyas like that. The great character you also see in Vaishyas, they can have great character. You know what I'm saying? Shudras can have great character. It's just not as common. You know what I'm saying? Most shudras, it's not about character. You know what I'm saying? But you can be a good shudra and not have good character. You have to have enough at least to keep a job. But if your skill is so much better than anybody else, and even your amount of character can be less than anybody else.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
Like that. Yes. You know, it's like the prima donna is the nastiest person you can meet. Or, you know, the top supermodel. They're nasty.
Yes.
But because they're so good, people tolerate. You know what I'm saying? But if you drop down, the character has to be, you know, so it has to be... So the skill balances the lack of character. You know, there's always a balance. It's just, you know what I'm saying? So they can have, but Brahmins and Kshatriyas have to work on character. You can't perform the Brahminical and Kshatriya duties without character. But Vaishya and Shudra, you can. But Vaishya has to have more character than Shudra because he has to be able to keep money. You know what I'm saying? Who buys into credit cards? Vaishyas or Shudras? Yeah. Who came up with the concept of credit cards? Vaishyas. Because they know the lack of character. They know the greed. They know the desire. And they play on that. Why wait for tomorrow what you can get today? Which is why the credit cards work. You know what I'm saying? And who are the ones that don't like credit cards? They only use debit cards, or they won't use cards at all. They only use cash. People with more character, more brains. Does that make sense? So the point is Brahmin Kshatriyas have to have character. You know what I'm saying? Let's say you take Duryodhana and you take Yudhishthira. Who's the better Kshatriya?
Both.
Yudhishthira, because he has more character. Now, Duryodhana has more skill than basically all the other kings on the planet, but he doesn't have the character. So therefore, he could be emperor, just like Jarasandha could be emperor because he has the skill, but he doesn't have the character. Does that make sense? Now, let's say we hear of a big businessman who doesn't have character, but he's a billionaire. Do we think that how does he have so much money? We think, he's got bad character. How is he a billionaire? We know it's because he has bad character. That's why he's a billionaire.
Prerequisite.
Yeah. Prerequisite. Yes. Sorry, you can't be a billionaire. You're too nice. Yeah. You understand? So, that's the whole thing. Otherwise, it has to be from piety. you know, like Raghunath Das Goswami's uncles. You know, they have more money than anybody on the planet today has. And they're, you know, because they're pious. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Does that make sense? So in other words, the Vedic system is not about enjoying the material world. The material world, it's about developing love for the Lord, which means you have to be detached from the material world, which means you have to be performing proper work. Right? So therefore, and that proper work, in other words, it's about dharma, moksha, and bhakti. But the proper work will get you artha and kama. Right? So people are focusing on artha and kama and not getting it. Or they get it, you know, a few moments and it's gone. Right? But those who function on dharma, then artha and kama are always there because they're always doing dharma. And so then you can say, because that's the lower, that's not what's important. Because you've experienced that. You're experiencing that performance of duties and that direction towards devotional service, renunciation and devotional service. So you can compare that against artha and kama. If I'm in dharma, I have renunciation and bhakti to compare to facility and sense gratification.
Yes.
And so then I can see the two.
Yes.
Because if I just have facility, I may think, oh, well, maybe the sense gratification is not so bad. Therefore, devotees, they forget about that, and then they go back. You understand? So therefore, you take care of that when you're young. You know what I'm saying? So that by the time, you know, you're at the point of realization, you have facility, you like that. And then you can realize, okay, now we can move on. Vanaprastha means it's not that he didn't have money, so therefore sour grapes, he moves on. It's that he's had, but, you know, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that the amount of endeavor that you put in to keep yourself on that level of you want and progressing, the return is not that great. Well, if we just function at, like, even half that, or a third that, we have more than anybody else anyway, and we're fine. Plus that we have all the time for everything else. You understand? Or it's a lot easier to do something that you're going to use, let's say, for devotional service or preaching or things like that, than if you're just making money for yourself. So you have the skill to make money, and now you have the proclivity to use it in Krishna's service. So even if you continue making the same amount of money, now you use it for Krishna's service. And then you can do so many things. Understand? So it's an investment in your own realization and an investment in devotional service. So it all works out nicely. But it's not understood. Oh, then it's all right to make tons of... That's not what we said. Oh, it's okay to enjoy family... That's not what we said. Just like if prasad tastes nice, then if I start talking about Krishna and this is Krishna and everything, you can appreciate it. Right? But if prasad's not nice, and I start talking about this is non-different from Krishna and all that, it's kind of like, yeah. You understand? That's the whole point. So there's always this balance between the primary and secondary, because we always take it as one or the other. But you have to have both. Manu replied, to expand himself in Vedic knowledge, Lord Brahma, the personified Veda, from his face created you, the Brahmanas, who are full of austerity, knowledge, and mystic power, and are averse to sense gratification. For the protection of the Brahmanas, the thousand-legged supreme being created us, the Kshatriyas, from his thousand arms. Right, so there's a balance, thousand legs, thousand arms. Because otherwise... You know, the thousand-armed supreme being created us, the Kshatriyas, from his thousand arms. Okay. Not as good as, you know, you have more elements. Hence, the Brahmanas is said to be his heart and the Kshatriyas his arms. That is why the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas protect each other as well as themselves. Right, because the point is having a heart, but if you don't have arms, it's not as great. Yeah, you may have arms if you don't have a heart. That doesn't work out so good either. Right? So that's the thing. The two go together. But of the two, the heart's more important. Right? In other words, if society only has brahmanas, then you can create kshatriyas. But if you only have kshatriyas, you may not be able to recreate brahmanas. And that is why the brahmanas and kshatriyas protect each other, as well as themselves and the Lord himself, who is both a cause and effect, and is yet immutable, protects them through each other. Right? So the Lord protects them through each other. So that means if one is functioning, not the other, means neither of them are protected. Because if you only have kshatriyas, no brahmins, that means the kshatriyas aren't protected. Because kshatriyas are protected through brahmins. Does that make sense? Yes.
To oversee and supervise and consult and teach.
Yes. Yeah. Because as we mentioned before, is that since that field of knowledge is what the Brahmin works with, that's always increasing. Mm-hmm. Well, the Kshatriya is applying it, getting practical knowledge, but the theoretical, there's always something more. Mm-hmm. So that's why the two work together. Because theoretical knowledge, what's the point? Unless it's applied. The application is only valuable if there's continued increase in theoretical knowledge. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Otherwise, you might get off into a tangent and not realize where you're going. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't see the forest for the trees. Mm-hmm. So that's the point. The Brahmins can see the forest. The Kshatriyas can see the trees. So you have to have the balance. Mm-hmm.
And then the other way is through physical protection and through maintenance and respect.
Yeah, according to respect. Just seeing that the social environment is such that Brahmins are respected. Mm-hmm. Like that. Because basically as it is even though we're supposed to be a Brahminical society, we don't respect Brahmins.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not that it's... A head pujari, what is his position in relationship to the temple president?
Junior.
He's just a department head. A department head. There's a good account. Good. In some temples, you might find the accountant, or the guy deals with the accounts, is more appreciated by the president than the pujari.
Because pujaris are expendable.
Yeah, well, this guy knows your accounts. You don't want to get rid of him and make trouble for you. You understand? So the whole thing is there isn't inherently, like in the Western cultures, there is respect for teachers. Not really. Not at least government. If you go to a private school, you respect teachers.
Yeah.
But that's why you go to a private school. Because mm-hmm. you respect teachers. If you don't respect teachers...
Trust is increasing.
Yeah. Oh, now it's coming up. Okay. Then it's just, it has to be a better one. You know, you understand? Lawyers, no one trusts them.
And teachers are pretty powerless to actually teach these days. So
yes, you can't teach, you can't do anything. So, and why is that? Because, they're a position of authority. That authority is bad. So ultimately it boils down to authority is the problem. Yeah. And then who's the ultimate authority? Krishna. So therefore, Krishna, guru, sannyasis, teachers, parents, you understand? All of these go out the window. Because these are the natural authorities. Mm-hmm. So in the modern culture, anything that will break these down, they'll do. Mm-hmm. You understand? Yeah. It's just like this. If you have an editorial, or somebody's blog, you'll find the intellectual very easily go after the position of authority, wherever they are. Mm-hmm. Except, of course, their own. Mm-hmm. Right? And so many studies are done about the problems with authority. How many studies are done about the problems with the other people that don't accept authority? Very few would do that. The only one who would fund that would be a conservative. And then because conservatives fund it, the liberals would throw it out. It's biased.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you understand?
Yeah.
So that's the difficulty, is that socially it's not balanced. Only the Vedic principles can balance it. You want to use modern techniques, fine, but they have to be based on Vedic principles. Just like Prabhupada establishes society, uses modern technique of registering and stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the principle of establishing a society that's based on fulfilling the wishes of Lord Chaitanya through the direction of Rupa Goswami and the Acharyas, that doesn't change.
Yes.
You understand?
Yeah. Or if in the classroom we're going to have a group discussion, it doesn't mean you say we're all equal and there is no teacher.
Yeah, like that. So that's the thing is, nowadays, as I was just hearing the other day, is that one of the things, the facilitator, because he doesn't teach. Yeah, you know, someone goes and teaches, and that's bad. This is an authority. Why are you better? Yeah. The facilitator, I just go and get people to discuss.
Yeah.
But the point is but what do you discuss? Unless there's knowledge, how do you... unless I put water into the glass, how do I drink that water? Mm-hmm. I'm going to have this empty glass and we're all going to discuss it, and that way we're going to satisfy our thirst.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the problem. It's based on specifically targeting authority because it's based on envy. And envy of the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Authority. So that's the first thing to go. All this Vedic culture is outdated. It doesn't work. What is that? That's atheism.
Yeah.
That's going against the authority of Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
As we'll see when Kapila Muni comes up, he's going to make the point, as I spoke this, that's why it's real.
Mm-hmm.
He's not saying it's limited to now. Okay, that, you know, this is the first day of Brahma, and so therefore now what I say has meaning, but later on it won't because it'll get too archaic. No.
Mm-hmm.
It's eternal.
Yeah.
So to say that Vedic culture doesn't work now is atheism.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to use your intelligence to apply it, now that you have to do. You have to be qualified.
Mm-hmm.
So you can misapply, mm-hmm. just like you can misapply anything.
Mm-hmm.
People get burnt in the kitchen, they get cut, they get so many things. Why? Because they are not careful, they don't apply it properly.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean the principle of cooking. Oh, he got cut. And this guy got burnt, we should ban cooking.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the modern culture does. But you'll see it only does that, banning, when it comes to authority. If it's about sense gratification and freedom, everyone doing whatever they like without any control, that they're, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the difficulty. And then they speak that it's on these high level ideals. But we get farther and farther away from the ideals.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about a community based on respect. There's less respect in the community now than there was before when we were not respectful. You know? When we were just a bunch of, you know, crazy Americans who didn't care about anybody, there was more respect in this community than now when we're all open and so, you know, being respectful.
Yeah.
No, they said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There is room for improvement.
Room for improvement.
Yes.
So yeah. So the idea is that he's pointing these out so that there's that mutual thing. He's trying to point out commonality, right? Because you're looking for commonality in a marriage. So here he's looking for that commonality. Like that, because they know the character matches. But now he wants to point out that him being a Brahmin and her being a Kshatriya is not going to be a problem here. Like that. Is that okay? Okay, so we'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki jai, Jainatai Gaur.